the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, grace to you and peace this day from God, who comes to us in peace. Amen. Come and see the one who knows everything about me and loves me anyway. Last week, we heard from John's Gospel of the conversation with a man under the cover of deep darkness and of the grace that those moments can offer. Today, we hear of a conversation with Jesus at the polar opposite time of day, at noon. The sun is the highest and the hottest. The light is the greatest. Last week, Jesus met a man at the center of power, at the center of temple life in the ancient Jewish world, a Pharisee, a man with a name, Nicodemus. That was last week he met at night. Today, Jesus meets a woman on the edge, on the fringe, a Samaritan who doesn't even worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And her name is not even mentioned. And this is by day. It's a wonderful and very stark contrast, which is timely, isn't it, from last week to this week? Christ is in both places and all places and always staying, always abiding. Christ was there last week. Christ is with us now, and Christ will be with us into the days ahead. Honesty is a powerful theme in these chapters 3 and 4 of John's Gospel. Honesty. Jesus' conversation today with the Samaritan woman draws us right back into that theme of honesty, and there's other themes here too. There's also a theme of changing of ways. There's a theme of changing beliefs even. There is a theme in this text of a place of worship, and that hits home for us. No pun intended. Where do you worship? Does it have to be at the temple? Are we able to worship in different places and yet still be together? There's also a theme of letting go, and there's a theme of moving outward. The woman at the well has for years, I think, been assumed to be a prostitute or a harlot. You can even see that translation in some older Bibles. Even as we have no concrete evidence that this is the case, some have assumed that since she has had five husbands, that it must be her fault and that she gets around. But in recent years, thankfully, many scholars anyway, and theologians have wondered and asserted very differently. Maybe she's not a harlot. Maybe she's not a prostitute. Maybe she's lost five husbands to disease or war. Or in that day and age, a man could permissibly divorce and literally throw his wife out for just about any reason, often for not bearing children. And being cast out, especially again and again, like this woman, made a woman in that time ritually and culturally unclean to the entire community. One scholar was even so bold as to state, "Jesus is not slut-shaming this woman. So let's not ever understand this passage in that way again. She doesn't disgust us. She inspires us with her witness in bringing her whole community out to meet this Jesus." Powerful. But it does start with her being an outcast. That is true. That's why she's at the well by herself at the least favorable time of day. If we had to draw water from wells in the Middle East, we would probably all want to go in the morning or in the evening when it was cooler. She's been cast out of the comfortable times and circles of people at the well. She's been relegated to noontime. And this woman was hurting, no question. She could have been grieving. She could have been physically battered and bruised. And even if promiscuity or a certain sexual recklessness was part of her story, which many of us can relate to today, actually, that is being careless or hurtful with our own bodies or with others, even if that was the case, she no doubt had a painful story. And she no doubt was living life afraid. Boy, we can relate to that too right now. She was at the edge, a nameless woman, a Samaritan, and divorced and chewed up. The imagery of the other couldn't be more blunt for the first century hearers of John's gospel. It always helps when we're talking about Samaritans to think of who your Samaritan is today. Whenever Samaritans come up in our Bible study, who is that for you? In other words, who is it that makes your blood boil? Who is it that you can't stomach? It's always helpful when we talk about Samaritans to draw our own lines honestly for a moment and think of this deeply and personally, not just some evil person out there far away, someone that you just don't want to be around. Maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, someone you just cringe when you see. And remember that Jesus is always there on the other side too. On the other side of the divisions that we make among ourselves, Jesus is there talking with the 5 times divorced Samaritan woman. And the site of this extraordinary meeting is this ancient well. That is significant too. It's Jacob's well, the text says. It's a place still supplying water, just as it did centuries before for Jacob and his flocks. Since the 4th century, this has been one of the key baptismal texts for Christians because it's still supplying water. Many baptismal fonts actually in Europe and the Middle East, Northern Africa, and in some of our churches in the United States as well are designed to resemble a well. I think ours does here at Bethlehem, actually. There is still water coming from the well. This is the place where Jesus meets us. Put your finger in water at some point this week and cross yourself. Splash in the water this week and remember that Jesus still meets us in these earthly places. There is still water coming from the well. Jesus reaches out to this woman and to all who are on the outside and hurting, all whose histories are messy and painful, and Christ offers healing, peace, truth, and love. That's why she proclaims, "Come and see the one who knows everything about me and loves me anyway." Just as there was grace in the darkness, as we were reminded last week, just as there is grace in the deepest of night, we're reminded that there is incredible grace and hope in bringing things to light today, in bringing our stuff out into the open before Christ. Actually, I think it's fitting. It starts at dark, deep down in the soil. I spoke of that last week. As the Spirit nudges us and stirs us to be honest. And what a catharsis, by the way, when it does come out, when we're able to share something, even in the cover, especially in the cover of darkness, growth happens. That's the image of Lent and the what's happening under the dirt right now, or under, you know, the bark of the trees, under the branches that we can see, which is not much. But what's happening is there's growth there. A new chapter is beginning. Letting go of the past, a new chapter is beginning. There's a moving outward into God's future, out of the deep, peaceful darkness. That's Nicodemus. Then certain things come to light. That's the woman at the well this week. John's gospel is so rich. Every Sunday, friends in Christ, Luther even encourages daily. We've got a little bit more time, perhaps, with our days. Every Sunday, every time we offer our confession, splashed by the waters of life, the waters of eternal life, we receive God's mercy. Luther said, every time you touch water, remember your baptism and remember that you receive God's mercy. It's like we've all had 5 husbands. We've all had 5 husbands. That's a confession, you see. It's like we've all had five husbands. We confess not just our sin, but also our pain and our sorrow. Husband one, husband two, husband three, our fear, our anger. We've had five husbands, more than that. Lord, we're grieving and hurting and scared and anxious, and we've messed up. Call us back to you, God. We've had five husbands. Forgive us for what we've done wrong, for the things for which we must take responsibility. Comfort us in our pain and sorrow and fear, in the things over which we have no control. Draw us to you as you point us back outward, not inward, to be your people to the strange and the strangers. And I've got to point out, this is sort of a by the way, I've got to just point out, and I love the scene of Jesus just talking with a person who is so vastly different. By the way, Jesus is simply talking with a person who is so vastly different from himself. My grandpa loves to do this. He loves just chatting with strangers, and he's genuinely interested in different people, different perspectives, different experiences. Jesus meets and talks in the midst of difference. I just put that out also as an aside. Consider this as you're interacting online this week, as you're talking to others and those who think differently. There's a lot of disagreement in our culture right now over all kinds of things, including how we're handling this pandemic. Jesus meets and talks in the midst of difference. I just put that image out as well. Finally, the final movement of our story is so important. This woman goes back to her community, the same community from which she's been estranged. And in this amazing, grace-filled twist, she actually then leads them out. It's like she goes into the center and then she leads them out to the edge. That's where the well was. It wasn't in the center. Out on the edge. She goes and opens their eyes to see in a new way, to fit with our Lenten theme from last week. Open my eyes, Lord. She opens their eyes, and that'll be our text next week, actually, about the blind man. Our call here, friends in Christ, our vocation is to be like this woman at the well. We meet Jesus in worship in this unlikely place, in this unimaginable situation. At this water well, we meet Jesus. And then we go and call others. Come and see. Come and see the one who knows everything about me and loves me anyway. And there is still water coming from the well. Forgiveness, a new life, hope for a broken world. There is still water coming from the well. Living water gushes and cleanses us now, this day. And living water nourishes us for faithfulness in the days ahead. Jesus meets us and sees us plainly again in the light of this day, all our faults and blemishes, all our pains and sorrows and fears, clear in the light of this day, and Jesus loves us anyway. Now that's worth reposting. Yes, that's worth sharing. Thanks be to God. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.